Last week we took a look at the very familiar Psalm 23, and we talked about what it means that the Lord is our shepherd, and of course one of the implications of the Lord being our shepherd is that we are the sheep. And I told you last week, I'm not all that crazy about thinking of myself as a sheep, because sheep are defenseless, sheep are dependent. Sheep aren't all that beautiful. They're not all that bold. Sheep aren't all that bright either. And so I wasn't all that crazy about thinking of myself as a sheep. But whether we like thinking about it this way or not, one of the predominant images in all of Scripture for us, God's people, is that we are sheep and the Lord is our shepherd. And so this week, instead of Wonder Bread, instead of John 6 that you see printed in your bulletin, we're going to instead read another passage from the Gospel of John that talks about sheep. Now, I want to set the context for this passage. This takes place toward the end of the Gospel of John. It's a little over a week after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And so the disciples have been through a lot in a very short period of time. They watched as Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then some of them, Peter mainly, followed Jesus over to Caiaphas' house, the chief priest, where Jesus stood trial. And you'll remember that there in the courtyard of Caiaphas' house, standing around a charcoal fire, one of the most famous things Peter does, unfortunately for him, is that he, standing there warming himself by the fire, denies that he even knows Jesus three times. And then, of course, right after his denial, Jesus stands trial before the Sanhedrin, and then he stands trial before Pontius Pilate, and he's condemned to death and killed. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story. On the third day, Jesus is miraculously raised from the dead, and by the time our lesson picks up this morning, the disciples have already witnessed the resurrection. They've already had an opportunity to interact with Jesus. They know he's alive, and by the time we pick up this passage, they have already tried to go back to life the way it was before they met Jesus. They're back on the Sea of Galilee. They're out there fishing all night long. And then Jesus shows up on the beach. And when they realize it's Jesus, they come in a hurry. And they bring all the fish that they've caught. And there on the beach, they have breakfast with Jesus. And that's where our passage is going to pick up this morning from John chapter 21. I'll begin reading at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to Peter a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and ask them this question. The question is, how are you feeding the flock? Can you do that for me? How are you feeding the flock? I have another question for you this morning. This is by a show of hands. Does anybody here this morning love Jesus? Anybody? I think that's everybody. And of course you love Jesus, because you might be thinking, well, duh, that's a dumb question. I mean, why else would I be here if I didn't love Jesus? Why else would I wake up early on a Sunday morning when I could be sleeping in? Why would I wake up, get dressed, come down here to worship? I mean, if I didn't love Jesus, I wouldn't be here. Of course I love Jesus. And if that's what you were thinking, then you can probably understand Peter's exasperation in this passage that we just read this morning from the Gospel of John. Because remember, Peter has given up everything to follow Jesus. He has left his family. He's left his father's business. He's left everything to go be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. So I'm sure that it catches Peter just a little bit off guard when Jesus says to him, "Hey, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Well, of course, Jesus, you know I love you." No. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Jesus, I left everything when you called me, and I've been with you for 3 years now. Of course, you know I love you." "Simon, son of John, do you really love me?" "Lord, you know everything there is to know. Of course I love you. You know I love you." Three times, Jesus asked him the same question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Three times. And John tells us right there in the 21st chapter of this gospel, John tells us that Peter was hurt. He was bothered. It hurt his feelings that Jesus had to ask him three times, because it's almost as if Jesus doesn't really believe Peter when he says that he loves Jesus. But it wasn't that Jesus didn't really believe Peter. It was that Jesus was giving him the opportunity to undo what he had already done. He's given him the opportunity to undo those three denials that happened around a charcoal fire outside of Caiaphas' house, where Peter said, "I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know that guy." Not once, not twice, but three times Peter says that. And here on the beach around another charcoal fire, Jesus is giving Peter the opportunity to affirm his love for Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus isn't trying to grill Peter. He's trying to give him grace. He's trying to give him an opportunity to make right what he had gotten wrong. So three times Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then Jesus says a peculiar thing. Three times Jesus says to Peter, "All right, well, if you love me, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. If you really love me, then I want you to feed my flock." See, apparently, loving Jesus comes with some farm chores. If we're going to love Jesus, we got to do some stuff on the farm. We got to feed these sheep and tend these lambs. Jesus gives Peter the job of taking care of his sheep. "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Tend my lambs." Well, what does it mean to feed Jesus' sheep? What does it mean to, if we're going to feed Jesus' flock, then what do we need to do in order to do what Jesus has asked us to do? A few weeks ago, back in May, right before school was out, we had a lot of things going on here at Advent. We'd just come off of confirmation weekend. We had confirmation Sunday. It was a big day. It was lots of fun, but it was also, it had a lot going on. And then we had graduation Sunday, and we had leadership teams who still are working on some very big planning kinds of things. And we had lots of stuff happening here in the life of our church, trying to get ready for the end of school, when we know a lot of you find your friends' beach houses. And so it was busy. And I remember one day, in the middle of all that hectic activity, while I was knee-deep in busyness, there was this guy who wandered in off the street saying that he wanted to talk to a pastor about his problems. And I overheard that, and I thought, well, Pastor Laura Allen's office is right down here. And no, I didn't say that to him. I invited him to come on in, and I'll be honest, the first few minutes he was in my office, I couldn't stop thinking about all the things I had to do, things that needed to get done and stuff that had piled up. And now I managed to listen well enough to hear his problems. And boy, did he have problems. And then when he asked me what I thought he should do, I was alert enough. I remembered some lessons from back in seminary, those counseling classes where we were taught. Now, don't give people advice. What you need to do is ask them questions and keep asking them questions until they can come figure out for themselves what it is they need to do. And so I asked this guy a question. I said, well, what do you think Jesus would want you to do in this situation? I thought it was a pretty good question. I mean, I was inviting him to think theologically about the problem that he was experiencing. I was inviting him to think through what that might look like. What would Jesus want him to do? And so I thought it was a pretty good question. Until he said, I don't really know that much about Jesus. And at that moment, all of my preoccupation, all of the things that were on my to-do list, all the things that I was all anxious about, and confirmation and graduation and all of our planning efforts, all of that faded away. And it was almost like I heard Jesus say, hey, this is why I called you to ministry in the first place. I didn't call you to all this business. I called you to Michael, son of Horace. Do you love me? Well, if you do, you better take care of my sheep. Eric, son of, I can't remember. Do you love me? Jason, do you love me? Bernie, Kim, Tim, do you love me? Advent, do you love me? Well, if you do, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. So I was thinking about taking care of lambs and feeding the flocks. I thought about, I couldn't help but think about this week. I mean, we had, this campus was buzzing with a lot of little lambs this week. We had 218 little lambs, and they were all on campus for VBS this week, and it was 10% more than we had last year. It was great. We had to, got the ability to share with them, and all of those little lambs learned a message each night of Vacation Bible School. They learned that God has the power to provide. See, they were listening. They also learned that God has the power to comfort. They learned that God has the power to heal. They learned that God has the power to forgive. They even learned that God has the power to love us forever. And then they each night they learned Bible stories that went along with those messages to reinforce those messages that God has the power to do all those things. And I can't think of a better way to feed the flock or to take care of the little lambs than to make sure that every child we can possibly get in this place would learn those five messages and learn that Jesus loves them. Amen? But you know what I heard? I heard about this church where they had VBS, and weeks before VBS started, the directors of their Vacation Bible School stood outside their services handing out flyers inviting adults to participate, to take the time to invest in the lives of children who would come to VBS. And you know what I heard happened at that particular church? I heard that some of those people handed those flyers back to those volunteers who were trying to recruit more volunteers. They handed those flyers back to them and said, sorry, I don't do that. My children are grown and gone. I don't have children that age anymore. I don't do that. I even heard that some of those folks were kind of rude about it. Now, I get that VBS isn't everybody's cup of tea. I get that. I understand that there are other ways to serve, and that's great, but I was thinking about the rudeness of those people, and I just thought that was the saddest thing. I thought, gosh, that church needs to hear this lesson from John chapter 21, where Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Well, then prove it. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep." You know, earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus told his disciples that he said, "Look, guys, I am the good shepherd." That's what Jesus said. And he says that the good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. He even says that the good shepherd will lay down his life for those sheep. The sheep mean more to the good shepherd than his own life. And then here at the end of the Gospel of John, when Jesus is about to leave earth, he trusts the care of those sheep to Peter and the other disciples. And he does this, and he says, "Peter, do you love me? Well, then take care of my sheep." And he does this even though Peter, by all human standards, has been a failure. I mean, Peter constantly in the gospel doesn't get it. And then, you know, the quintessential failure there at the end of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was arrested, when Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. And in spite of that, Jesus still says to Peter, "Hey, if you love me, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to entrust these sheep, the very sheep that I've given my life for, I'm going to entrust those sheep to you, and I want you to take care of them. I want you to feed them. I want you to feed my flock." Now, this command from Jesus' lips is to Peter, but I think it's a command to all of us who love Jesus. "Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs." Here at Advent, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You've heard that so many times. I hope you have it memorized. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And I was thinking about how we might rephrase that in light of this passage of Scripture. And I thought, here's my shot at reframing that mission statement in light of this passage. Our mission is to shape sure-footed sheep to follow the Good Shepherd. Say that three times fast. Our mission is to shape sure-footed sheep to follow the Good Shepherd. Our job is to seek out those lost little lambs and sheep. Our job is to tend them, to take care of them, to feed Jesus' sheep. And when we do that, when we live out our mission, then we are loving Jesus the way Jesus wants to be loved. When we live out our mission, when we make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, when we shape sure-footed sheep to follow the Good Shepherd, we are loving Jesus the way Jesus wants to be loved. It's not always easy. Notice that Jesus does not say to Peter, "Peter, do you love the sheep?" That's not the question Jesus asked. He didn't ask Peter if he loves the sheep. And it's a good thing because the sheep aren't always that lovable. I said it earlier, sheep aren't all that bold, they're not all that beautiful, they're not always that bright. But Jesus didn't ask Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love the sheep?" Instead, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And the only way that Jesus gave to Peter to prove his love for him was to tell him that his job was now to take care of those sheep. Sheep that Jesus loved so much he was willing to die for them. One of my favorite stories was told to me by an older pastor friend, and he was telling me that after Hurricane Hugo, and Hurricane Hugo wreaked havoc on the coastline of South Carolina, after Hugo happened, they got a group from his church, they went down there, and they were rebuilding the home for a woman whose house was completely blown away. And so he said they were down there, and the project was kind of far along. They were already inside and doing some finishing work, and he was painting inside this room, and it was hot. And he said he'd been working all week, and he was tired, and he noticed that the woman whose house they were building really didn't contribute a whole lot. In fact, he didn't see her doing anything except watching all these people do the work. And so one day, again, he was hot and tired, and he went outside for a water break. And he got around there to the water cooler, and there he saw this homeowner just sitting, watching. Not only that, she popped a cold one, and she was sitting there watching all these folks work on her house. And he said it flew all over him. He was angry. He didn't even get any water. He just went back inside, and he grabbed his paintbrush, and he was slinging paint all over the place. And the guy who was over that project came into the room, and he said he noticed he came in, and he picked up a brush, he started painting alongside, and he got a little closer, and he said, I knew the guy knew that what I was angry about. And he got real close to me, and he leaned over and he said to me, if I were working for them, I'd have quit a long time ago. Jesus didn't say, Simon, son of John, do you love the sheep? He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? If you do, then don't worry about anything else. Just tend my sheep. You leave me to worry about all of you. You just do what I've asked you to do. I've asked you to tend them. I've asked you to feed them. Feed my flock. Well, Advent, we have all around us sheep, hundreds, thousands of sheep right around us, and they're little lambs that Jesus is calling us to feed and tend, to take care of, make sure they're provided for. And he says that if we love him, then we'll do that. We can prove our love for Jesus by feeding his flocks. So I'll ask you again, do you love Jesus? Then how are you going to feed the flock?